Welcome to the Character Chronicles, the people show. Check the Pulse of Husker Nation. Brought to you by Nebraska Spine Hospital. Today we have a special guest. He's a former Husker, a graduate of Lincoln Southeast High School. Played 14 years in the Major League Baseball with the Kansas City Royals. Has a World Series championship, 3 All-Star appearances, and 7 Gold Gloves. How you doing today, Alex Gordon?
I'm doing pretty well. Just loving the retired life right now.
Oh, man, so that's actually the first question I have. Has it even set in that you're retired yet?
It kind of hasn't. It kind of feels just like a regular offseason right now. But I'm sure as, you know, guys start amping up for next year, start training, spring training, if that happens, when that starts going on, that's when I think it will start hitting more at home. But right now it just kind of feels like a standard off season where I'm going through, the first couple of weeks of just getting my family time in. So right now, no, but I'm sure it will.
What was it like? Because this was, to say this was an unusual baseball season would be just the understatement of the millennium. What was it like playing a shorter season, a COVID season, no fans in the stands? You know, what was it like playing this last and final baseball season of your career?
It was bizarre. It was different, but I think going into it, everyone had an open mind about not to expect, just to expect the unexpected and not have, you know, baseball players are so wrapped up in routines, and especially when you've been playing in the big leagues for 13 years and you found success and you kind of learn how to, you know, navigate through a season. You know, that those routines kind of get thrown off, and we were told just to expect everything and not have an open mind about everything. So that was the biggest thing, was just being flexible with everything that was going on.
Now let's kind of go back to the beginning of your college career, so to speak, because you played for the Huskers. So what was it like playing for the Huskers? You know, what did it mean to you being a Lincoln boy and the fact that your dad played there at Nebraska as well?
Yeah, and then everything. You know, when I was in high school and I started looking at colleges, I think I signed, you know, maybe the first week that I could to go to Nebraska. And, you know, I did grow up an LSU fan, just with all the success they had over the years and watching them go to the College World Series over and over again.
Yeah.
And Nebraska really not having that success yet. But then when Dave Van Horn came in, and, you know, it was when I was starting high school, they started going to the World Series, you know, the past couple of years. And that's kind of what drew my interest right away. And, you know, then when I was eligible to sign my letter of intent, that was a no-brainer. So it worked out perfectly, and I was so excited to stay home.
Do you have a favorite memory from during your time with the Huskers?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I would say, you know, the overall 2005 season, you know, we had a tough 2004 season. There was a lot of expectations and we didn't make the postseason at all. So, you know, a lot of people are down after the 2004 season, and going into 2005, we weren't even nationally ranked at the beginning of the season, but I feel like we had that right group of, you know, guys that got along, good chemistry, and we just played together and, you know, ended up, you know, a national 3 seed in the College World Series in the postseason and get into the World Series. And unfortunate not winning it, but we can still sit back and say that, you know, we're the only Husker baseball team that's won a game in the World Series. So that's something special.
That is pretty cool. Now, later that same year, not very much later as a matter of fact, what was it like, all right? What was the feeling you had when you found out that you were the number 2 pick in the Major League Baseball draft by the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, so the drafts back then was a little bit different than it is now. It's more publicized. Guys go into the facility where, you know, the draft happens. They call their names. They walk out to the podium, you know, kind of all that stuff. And back then, we were preparing for Miami in the Super Regional. And sure enough, on draft day, we were practicing. And I was out on the field practicing. We had an empty stadium. I think it was maybe a Thursday, and I had my oldest brother, Eric, in the stands, and he was kind of listening to the draft as it was going on. I just told him to, you know, whistle at me and throw out the number when you hear when I was picked. And I thought I was going to go number 3rd to Seattle. They had the third pick, and they were kind of in contact with me more than anybody. So that's where I thought I was headed. And then, you know, a little surprise, he whistled and threw up the number two, and then I found out it was Kansas City. And we had a pretty cool moment where, you know, they stopped practice, pulled everybody together and kind of congratulated me and made the announcement.
I love that you were in the middle of practice. That is awesome.
Yeah, we our minds were in a different place at the time. We were ready to, you know, crush Miami. So that's what ended up happening. And I don't think anybody had their second guess or wanted to do anything else but, you know, get on that field and practice and get ready.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you experienced every little boy's dream coming true. Your first major league at bat in 2007 versus Curt Schilling, a very well-known, one of the best pitchers ever. And then not much longer after that, you had your first home run on April 10th, 2007. What were those feelings like for you?
You know, some great memories thinking back now. You know, in 2006, I played in Double A the whole year, and going into the 2007 season, I didn't think I was going to make the team out of spring training. Not that I was going to go to Triple A, but ended up having a really good spring training and skipped right past that. So I was a little overwhelmed, to be honest, in 2007, you know, just growing up, going to that stadium, and then finally getting to play, but not only play, go face a, you know, a Hall of Famer and Curt Schilling and, you know, guys on the field like Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, guys I grew up watching. So I was a little in awe by all that. And sure enough, bases loaded, first at bat, opening day, standing ovation, and got to a full count. Ended up fouling a couple pitchers off, and then he threw his patent splitter and struck me out. So I got a standing ovation going back to the dugout, which was great. I was like, this is going to be easy if this is how nice the fans are to me. So
yeah,
had a kind of a slow go in 2007, but then kind of turned it around and was able to have a pretty good rookie year. So my first home run was actually in Toronto, and it was against Towers. I forget his first name, but his last name is Towers.
Yep.
And he didn't really know much of him. And then a couple of years down the road, I'm in Arizona having a beer with my brother-in-law at a bar and just kind of hanging out, watching a game. And someone sent me a beer from across the room, and the waitress told me that it was from the guy I hit my first career home run off of. So it was a pretty cool moment right there.
That's pretty good sportsmanship right there. I don't think you'd see that from a lot of people, so that is kind of cool.
Yeah, we shared a laugh with it, so it was, and a beer, so it was good.
Now, you played third base at the beginning of your career, which we're kind of talking about now, and then spent a lot of time in the outfield. You know, did you prefer playing third? Did you prefer playing in the outfield, or did it matter to you where you played defensive? I mean, 7 Gold Gloves later, probably not that big a difference, but did you have a preference?
Outfield for sure. I mean, looking back on it now, I mean, who would say infield after you won 7 Gold Gloves in the outfield?
Yeah.
In high school, my freshman year, I actually, to play on the summer baseball team in my high school team, I had to play left field, which was the only time I played outfield. And then in 2007, they had a conversation because Mark Tian was the third baseman for the Royals, and he was the Lithuanian player of the year for the Royals. So it was kind of a crowded situation at third, and they didn't know what to do. And, you know, do we move Tian or do we move Gordon to the outfield? And still to this day, I wish they would have moved me because I felt like I was a better outfield than infielder. I always felt like I could hit pretty well, but I feel like my strength was my hitting and then not really at third base. So I wish they would have done it in 2007, but, you know, it kind of worked out in the end.
Yeah, for sure. So you had the opportunity to play in back-to-back World Series. 2014, 2015, you guys actually won the championship, the Royals' first championship as an organization since 1985, when you guys beat the Mets in five games. Talk to me about what that meant to you personally, right? Winning a World Series, appearing in two back-to-back, and for the Royals organization as a whole, because it had been 30 years since they won that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was frustrating, you know, the first however many years I was before 2014. But, you know, all you hear was about the 1985 Royals because they never really had success since then. And, you know, we kind of wanted to make our own history. And not that we didn't respect what they did in 85, but it was, you know, 30 plus years and really no winning seasons at all. So we kind of had a lot of motivation, good group of guys to come together. And, you know, it started, I think it kind of started in 2011 and then 12, 13, 13, we ended the second half with, I think, the best record in the American League. And then it kind of carried over to 14 and then on to 15 when we won the World Series. So it was good to, you know, kind of change the culture in Kansas City. And, you know, 85 was great, but now they can talk about something else for, you know, a few more years.
That is definitely pretty cool. Now, I want to go back to Game 1 of the World Series in 2015, all right? It's the ninth inning. The Royals are down. You step up to the plate. Crack. All right, what are you thinking as you watch the ball fly over the fence? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this was a game-tying home run. Later on, you guys won that game 5-4 in the 14th inning. But what are you thinking? Ninth inning, the Royals are down, you're up to the plate, crack. You watch the ball fly over the fence. What are you thinking as you're rounding the bases?
Yeah, going into that bat, you know, in the postseason, especially the World Series, you could do so much analyzing and preparing before a game, going over every pitcher, every position player. It's just, it's completely different than the regular season when you're just grinding through a 162 game season. So, you know, Familiar comes in, we all know what he has, all of his stuff, but I don't think it was ever brought up that he had a little quick pitch where he didn't really came set and he tried to rush you with a fastball.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was on deck and he did it to Salvador Perez, who was hitting in front of me at the time. And I kind of noticed it and went up there to the plate after Salvi got out and just had a mindset that I was just going to be ready to hit from the get-go. And sure enough, I was. And, you know, the thing with the quick pitch is sometimes, you know, kind of you don't really get the best pitch that you want, but it's all about just trying to rush the hitter. And sure enough, he threw a fastball right down the middle and was able to, you know, put a good swing on it. So it was great. I don't really remember rounding the bases too much, just with all the adrenaline and excitement and this crowd.
Sure.
Great. I remember getting back to the dugout and celebrating with my teammates, and then Hosmer, who made an error, I think, in the inning before, and was kind of down a little bit just because we were losing 4-3 because of it, came up and gave me a big hug. And that's what it was all about, just playing for your teammates and picking each other up. And I don't think it really sunk in what I did until, you know, I kind of went below the dugout and realized what just happened. So pretty cool moment.
Now, I was going to ask you what the most memorable moment of your major league career is, but I think I already know. All right, you've been hit by a pitch, a Royals record, 121 times. What is the secret to your success?
You know, it started at Nebraska, to be honest. We were big into, you know, getting all over the dish. And if the pitcher was going to throw inside and it was going to maybe hit us, or we were taught not to get out of the way. And that was just kind of installed on us at Nebraska early on. And I kind of just carried that over to the big league. So, you know, there's some pitches I was trying to get out of the way because, you know, I got tired of it a little bit. But
yeah.
I was definitely a guy who, you know, if I got two strikes on me or, you know, if it was the right situation and they were going to pitch me in, I was just going to wear it. And the old saying, just take it for the team. And, you know, that's what I was trying to do, just be an on-base guy. So
I played with the kid in seventh grade. He'd never played baseball in his life. Basketball was his thing. He was the point guard and all that good stuff, but he never played baseball. I came out for the team. His name was Jonathan Passman. He's a doctor now, of all things. And he was terrible. He was just terrible. But he got hit by a pitch in the first game, and he discovered that he could get on base if he crowded the plate and just never moved. And so that became his thing. I mean, he was still terrible, but he would get on base about once, maybe twice every two or three games, just getting hit by a pitch. He'd turn around, laugh, and run to first. So that was kind of his thing. But obviously, you were able to hit the ball too, but he didn't really play baseball after that. But I've never forgotten that. Do you have a memorable moment that we haven't talked about, maybe all the way back to Little League or something like that, that you think people might find interesting?
Ooh, probably one of my favorite moments was, you know, I'm a big football guy. I love football more than baseball. I've always loved it. And in high school, my junior year, we were able to win the state championship, and I was the one who intercepted the pass in the second overtime to win state. I think the gift score was 14-7 or something. And I remember running through the end zone and then my teammates tackling me. And I don't really remember too much after that because I kind of blacked out. If you watch the video, so that my teammates tackle me and then all my team kind of jumps on a dog pile.
Okay.
And can't breathe. Like you're just going to the bottom of the pile. And then all of a sudden the whole crowd from the stadium starts jumping on the pile. And I think it was like a minute long, just being under there, not being able to breathe and panicking.
Yeah.
But it was 10 minutes. And I'll never forget that moment from, you know, excitement, you know, joy, you know, we just won state, to sheer panic mode. And like, am I going to come out of here alive? So it was I was able to get up afterwards and everything worked out, but just the emotions from that, whatever 5 minute scene was unbelievable.
Dude, that can be a scary thing when there's just people piling on top of you. Like, I'm claustrophobic, so I probably would have just started swinging. You know, get off me.
You know who I blamed on, too? It was Barrett Root, who everybody knows.
So yeah.
He was the one that tackled me and sent me to the ground to start it, so I blamed it all on him.
It was Bear's fault. I agree. It makes a lot of sense to me. So what's next? Have you even thought about what's next? You're probably just chilling and relaxing. Have you even thought about what's next for Alex Gordon?
Oh yeah, I've been thinking about this retirement for, you know, a while over the last couple of years. Just, you know, having three kids, they're 10, 7, and 3 now, and you know, I've put in so much time with baseball and so much sacrifices with the family. Where, you know, baseball's great; it's been a blessing, but it does take away a lot of time. You know, you're playing every day. You're traveling out of your suitcase all the time.
Yeah.
Even in the off season, you know, you're kind of training to get ready for a season. So I always looked at it, you know, when I retired, that I was going to take a year or two off and just enjoy the family, go on trips, just do nothing and just be a dad and a husband. So that's what I'm going to do now for the next couple of years for sure. And then, you know, I really don't know what life, you know, holds for me ahead, but I know something will happen, and you know, we'll just go from there.
I think that's a great idea. Just take some time and enjoy life and the kids, dude. That's a great idea. Yeah. Now, I know you spent some time around the Husker baseball program, and for those who don't know, the Alex Gordon Training Complex was completed back in 2011 for baseball and softball. Now, what are your thoughts on the direction/future of the Husker baseball program?
I like where it's going. You know, it was a huge hire. Obviously, we're all going to miss Darren Erstad, just what he meant to Nebraska and the program and as a coach and, you know, what he brought as a baseball player and a baseball mind. He's going to be surely missed, but I've known Will Bolt for a long time. He was only a couple of years older than me coming to Nebraska, but knowing him after he played at Nebraska, where he went, coaching styles, just around, you know, the baseball community. He's well-respected, well-liked, and a great recruiter. So I think he's going to be great for our program. It kind of stinks that this is how his Nebraska coaching got kicked off with COVID and canceled season. But I know he'll bounce back, and he'll be a great fit for Nebraska. And you know, he's always been a Nebraska guy, even though he went to A&M, with all his history and playing here and everything. And I know it was a dream come true to come back. So I like the fit, and I like where we're headed.
Hey man, I want to thank you for joining me. Congratulations on retirement, a great career, good luck in the future, and enjoy those kids. And thanks for joining me on the show.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
All right, until next time, Husker Nation, go big red, and always remember to throw the bones. Thanks again to our sponsor, Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's your spine, you do not want to mess around, and experience matters. That's why you can trust the experts at Nebraska Spine Hospital, the region's only spine-specific hospital. They are the best at what they do.